and your life.
We could close that one door. Okay.
Close the right side.
It's like right in my eye. The title of my word is We're at War.
Yeah. Amen.
This came about because someone approached me. They're going through a long battle and they had become discouraged. And I understand the discouragement over time. As we battle through things, and usually it's just a few weeks and then we have a little point of ease. This particular person has been in a battle for several years, and it's been a horrific battle. And I had to remind this person of some things, because when we get caught up in that battle, it's real easy for us to forget that it's a battle, and our enemy is very real. He hates our guts.
Yes.
He hates us with everything in his being.
Yes.
One of the most interesting things that I discovered about the mafiosa.
Well,
we're talking about an organization that is working against itself. You've got a godfather over here and a godfather over there, and they don't like each other. They're looking for each other's territory. They want to hurt one another. One of the things they will do is mess with each other's children.
Yeah.
Okay? They'll do damage to the children. We are the children of Almighty God.
Amen.
As believers, we are the children of God Almighty. And the devil has a problem with that. Okay. Now, back in the day, he was known as Satan. He was one of the most powerful and knowledgeable of all the angels. He became prideful and began to think more of himself than he should have.
Mm-hmm.
And he got kicked out. When he got kicked out, one third of the angels went with him. Later on, God created Adam and Eve, put them on the earth. And guess who showed up? Mr. Slinky. That's what I'm going to call him for this episode.
Yeah.
He showed up as a serpent. And he slithered alongside Miss Eve. Now, why do you think he picked Eve? I just want you to go, for a moment. We're not going to stay there. All right. He chose Eve. And the way he chose her is very, very telling. If you look in Genesis chapter 3, verse 1, he became friendly with her and started a conversation.
Yes.
I want you to know the enemy will act like he's your friend.
Well,
he will smile in your face. Don't let him turn around, though, because that machete or that sword that he's got stuck up behind his back will come out for you. All right. So he became friendly with her, started a conversation, and then started a conversation about God. He wanted to attack her mind.
Mm-hmm.
So what he did was he questioned, did God really say it? How many of you have an it that God has spoken to you? And the enemy will come in and he'll have you looking behind you trying to remember, okay, I know I was sitting on the corner and this man walked up to me and he said the Lord said, or was that really what the prophet meant when he spoke over me? I want you to know, when we overanalyze, all faith goes out the window. We are left with doubt.
Yes.
And once you've got doubt, you don't have much to hold on
Amen.
To. Okay, so the question there is, do you really trust God? You've got to commit to trusting him. Even if you misinterpreted something he spoke over you, he's big enough to catch you.
Amen.
And he will stop you before the damage is done.
Yes.
Okay?
Amen.
The next thing the enemy did was he accused God of lying. That's a problem.
Amen.
How many in here believe that God can lie? If you do, we've got some theology books you need to read about the character of God, the characteristics of God. He cannot lie. It is not in him to lie. He alone is holy.
Yes.
Holiness cannot lie.
Amen.
Okay. So he told him, he says, surely you will not die. Okay, so he's lying.
Right.
Then he came out and accused God of having evil intentions.
Mm.
Let me go there for a minute.
Amen.
This is Genesis chapter 3, verse 5.
Amen.
But the serpent started 4. But the serpent said to the woman, you will not surely die, for God knows that when you eat of it, talking about that fruit, your eyes will be opened and you will be like God, knowing good and evil. That adds to doubt, doesn't it?
Yes.
If you start to believe that God had ulterior motives for denying you the ability to eat a fruit, he said, do not eat of the tree. It's very simple, but do not eat of the tree. And here comes this little slinky thing talking. Okay, she entertained it. Then he allowed logic and the natural senses to actually seduce her. After that, okay, in verse 6, so when the woman saw the tree was good for food, we have a problem.
Yeah.
Now she's no longer agreeing with the Lord. She's agreeing with who?
Slinky.
Yeah, with Satan. The Slinky. She's agreeing with him, and that's a huge problem.
Yes.
All right. Just because you agree with him doesn't mean he's going to leave you alone.
Right.
The minute you commit that sin, what does he do?
Set you up for the next one.
He's called the accuser of the brethren.
Mm-hmm.
He will run behind your back and make sure everybody knows what you did. Two major scriptures that instruct us about this. The first one is 1 Peter 5:8. I'll just read it. Be sober-minded, be watchful. Your adversary, that's the enemy, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion seeking someone to devour. I'm going to ask you something. When was the last time you went to sit down and devour something? Maybe that Thanksgiving turkey? When you were devouring that turkey, were you concerned about the character of that turkey?
Nope.
Did you wonder what kind of life it led? Whether it had lots of friends, was popular, whether it, you know, never lied and was, you know, loyal to its homies? I want you to understand the enemy is not interested in any of your character traits. You could have lived perfectly up to that point. But when he's got you, he wants to eat you. He's not thinking about anything but destroying you so he can devour you.
Amen.
Okay. John 10:10 says, the thief comes only to steal, kill, and destroy. Stealing is not friendly, neither is killing. He might slither alongside you and act friendly, but notice that sword behind his back.
Yes.
He has one job to do. He seeks to destroy us by replacing God in our lives.
Yes.
Now, the things that he replaces God with are cars, money, love, attention, fame, serenity, food, entertainment, etc., etc., etc. Anything we can get attached to.
Mm-hmm.
We like a certain thing. I like chocolate every day. When the chocolate gets in the way of my relationship with the Lord, it's time to give up the chocolate.
Amen.
Okay? All right. So, I want to say this. Do not be a sucker or a fool. God is our defender. We got to keep our eyes on him. Do not compromise. When we open the door a little bit to the sin, the enemy can slither in through the smallest crevices. Once he's in, he will attempt to destroy you. Oppression is a special treatment he has designed for humans.
Yes.
He will oppress any believer who is hypocritical in his behavior.
Well,
we've seen some pastors go down for the very sin that they were preaching against.
Amen.
You've got to be careful with that.
Yes.
He has watched humans for many hundreds of years, and he knows how to humiliate and torment us. Now, if you turn to Psalms 91, I want to change our focus a little bit back on to the Lord. Those of you that have been in the Lord for a while are familiar with this passage. My water, I left it. Okay, I'm going to read it because many people I know read this passage frequently. The purpose for reading it is not to cast a spell or to chant or any of the other spiritual practices that some people engage in, but instead to get their mind set on who the Lord is. Mm-hmm. That's who we answer to.
Yes.
He's Daddy. Mm-hmm. He's Almighty God. He's the lover of our soul, the one lover of our soul.
Yeah.
Okay, so it starts off. He who dwells in the shelter of the Most High will abide in the shadow of the Almighty. Now, when I read it to myself, I say, I who dwell in the shelter of the Most High,
yes.
I will abide in the shadow of the Almighty.
Yeah.
He will say to the Lord, my refuge and my fortress, my God, in whom I trust. The scripture goes on, for he will deliver you from the snare of the fowler. Who's the fowler?
Slinky.
Yeah. And from the deadly pestilence. He will cover you with his pinions. You know what a pinion is? Feathers. And under his wings, you will find refuge. His faithfulness is a shield and buckler. You will not fear the terror of the night, nor the arrow that flies by day, nor the pestilence that stalks in darkness, nor the destruction that wastes at noonday. 1,000 may fall at my side. 10,000 at my right hand. But it will not come near me.
Yeah.
For you will only look with your eyes and see the recompense of the wicked.
Amen.
Verse 9. Because you have made the Lord your dwelling place, the Most High, who is my refuge, no evil shall be allowed to befall you.
Amen.
No plague come near you or your tent. For he will command his angels concerning you to guard you in all your ways. Do you understand the encouragement that comes from this scripture? So I'm not going to continue to read the whole thing right now, but that's most of it.
Yeah.
And I just want to say, make a practice of reading this scripture periodically to remind yourself how precious you are to Almighty God.
Amen. Amen. Beautiful.